Thank you for praying for the team. We even received support, and of course, we were able to go. Also, the price was reduced due to the giving of the church through our faith promise, and just allowing us to take missions trips like that and allowing our members to be able to make it more affordable. And how precious, precious of a time it truly was. I mean, we laughed, we cried, we rejoiced. We were just thanking God during this trip on how He spoke to our hearts. It was very unique in many ways. And you'll hear about it in different ways tonight. But as you'll remember, the theme was of our trip was, as Brother Christian preached that night, on the little lad that brought the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the question was, what are these among so many? And how that truth just truly resonated in our hearts throughout the trip, because the needs were great, the numbers were great of people, the cities, but we just were reminded continuously that God was going to bless our 2 fish and 5 loaves. We brought it forth every day, the best of our ability, by the grace of God, and we believe the Lord was going to bless it. And we did see some decisions there of people responding to the gospel, people just moving in the direction of obedience to the Lord and the local churches. And so what we would like to do, first of all, to kind of give you a context, if you will, we'd like to show the video first. You're going to see some pictures of where we were. You're going to see just basically some of the towns that we visited, the churches that we worshiped and ministered in, and areas we were able to hand out tracts. And so once the team gets up and starts making reference of these things, you'll have at least a visual of where we were and what we were doing. So we're going to go ahead and show that. I just pray that the Lord even use this video to encourage you. I did not realize this. There are so many towns that still do not have a gospel preaching church. And, you know, that is right there as our neighbor, our neighboring country, and where there is pretty easy access to this country. And I will tell you this too. I know there are going to be hard areas just like there are here in the States, but it's amazing too how open the people are to the gospel, how open they are to taking a gospel tract or to being spoken to about the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we watch the video, just let it impact your heart. And then, Brother Christian, I'd like for you to start us off with the testimonies, okay? All right. Of our world for about a week, and the Lord truly made a difference in our hearts. And one of my prayers is that when I went, I said, Lord, don't let me come back the same. And I believe the Lord has answered that prayer. I believe the Lord did a work in my heart. And I believe the other team members can testify of the same. And so I'd like to ask the leader of our group, Brother Christian Heiss. He did the planning. I just kind of came alongside at different times, but he did most of the work. And putting everything together, he came up with the theme and encouraged our team as well. And he was my prayer partner throughout the week, and he encouraged me. Each morning we met with our prayer partners, had our devotions, and then just prayed with one another. And that was such a special time too. So, Brother Christian, would you come up and just start us off? And then, Miss Becky, if you can plan on coming up next.
Yes, so the Lord really taught me a lot of things on this trip. First, the pastor called me first time and asked if I would be willing to organize this trip. I told him, Pastor, you don't know me. I have no organizational bone in my body. I said, well, God will help you. So I was anxious about organizing this trip, getting everything together, buying plane tickets, spending thousands of dollars on plane tickets with some obscure company, hoping that we get a good price and hoping that we weren't going to go to the airport and find out, well, you don't have tickets. So those were some of the thoughts that went through my mind. And you've all heard about crime in Mexico and you go on the State Department website, it says, don't even travel to Mexico. It's too dangerous, too much COVID and all that stuff. So there's all these thoughts going to my mind. And what if somebody gets COVID and then you have to come back with a negative test? What if somebody gets a positive test and they have to stay behind? So I was really struggling with anxiety on all these things. But throughout the trip, God took care of everything. And, you know, I have to tell you that on the day of the departure, about an hour before we're supposed to meet here to leave, I get an email from the travel agency saying, we try to call you, and you need to contact us. So I tried to call them, but couldn't get through. So I called the airline, Delta, and after being on hold for about 45 minutes, I talked to a lady there and asked what's going on with that. And she said, well, your tickets have been canceled. So I go, okay, what do we do now? And so I don't know. I told her, what are we going to do now? So she said, well, hang on, let me check on this. And so I waited for 2 or 3 minutes. She comes back. So you're okay. You're going to be on the airplane. So anyways, everything was fine. And and then, of course, nobody got COVID, and we didn't encounter any crime. It was just a wonderful time seeing the people down there, how open they were. But let me move on here. So that was one thing the Lord told me, that He's got it all under control. And so the next thing was that He taught me was that I really didn't quite understand how this missions work actually works. And going down there and seeing the missionary in action and what he's doing. And the whole time he was telling us, teaching us about missions. He was driving us, and he was all the time he was telling us, this is what we do, and this is what's important. And so we learned so much. And his philosophy is he's not the one evangelizing everybody, but he's training men to take over that work. And so he has 3 churches started. One is already independent. There's Brother Jesus. He's the pastor there. What a wonderful guy. The guy with the glasses you saw there. A short guy with the glasses. And then there's Manuel, who's kind of in line to pastor the first church. And then there's Brandon. And I'm sure you heard about Brandon from the others. He was just, I mean, an apostle. He was saved already before the missionary got there, and God brought them together. And he's just on fire for the Lord. We were driving to the church service there in that town that you saw the view of from above, and there we see him walking on the sidewalk, bringing somebody to church, always working for the Lord. And then we got to the church, and later he comes in. And he has this old lady with him, and he takes his arm around her shoulder. He takes her over to her seat, sits her down, pats her on the head like that. And I mean, he's just, the love of God is coming through this guy. And he was such a blessing. And we got to remember, the Lord knit our hearts together. So there was Jesus and Brandon and Manuel, and then Eduardo. He was saved, I think, 2 months, and on fire for the Lord. Then there was the family of Javier, saved 3 months, and just his son was singing a solo. He was 5 years old, singing a solo in the church, full of passion. And then you saw their family there, 4 on one moped. They had to drive 15 minutes with the big jackets on because it was cold. And that's how they came to church. What a wonderful New Testament church. And you know, we passed out invitations. They gave us a stack of invitations, and we went out there, 15 minutes, they were gone, because people were just taking them. So, but another thing that the Lord taught me was how great the need is for people to go down there, or for people to be one to Christ and to take the work, the gospel to those cities. Because there's very that the fields are wide to harvest, but the laborers are few. There's so much idolatry. You saw that in Mexico City, you saw that big church that looked kind of like an oyster with the green roof. That is the place where they have this this shroud with the picture of Mary, the Virgin of Guadalupe. You probably heard about that. And it's up there in the frame. And people come there to worship that image, and they hope that their sins will be forgiven. They hope that their sicknesses will be healed, but they're deceived. They are in darkness. And every year, millions of people go to that place in hopes that they might find something for their souls, but it's nothing. And so there is a great need there. And just seeing those masses of people everywhere, and it's just really it just touched my heart. And so the question that kept coming to my mind is, what is my place in reaching these people? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm praying for the Lord to reveal to me. What is my place? Where do I fit in? Where can I give my life to make a difference so that those people can find out about Jesus? How am I using my time? Am I wasting my time on things that don't matter? Or am I investing my time in reaching the world for Christ? So I just want to say, Lord, take me anywhere. It's really, the Lord will just put us in that place that He has for us, whether it's here or there or somewhere else. So I just want to thank you all for your prayers, and for your support, for your giving, and I would really encourage you to go on a missions trip. It is awesome, and the Lord will use it in your life. Thank you.
Amen, Brother Christian. Precious. Amen.
Come on up, Becky. And just want to say, Christian, again, just did a phenomenal job leading and encouraging. And Miss Becky, she was a blessing too. I tell you what, she and Brother Christian both speak Spanish, and I want to tell you that greatly helped us, and more ways than one. It was good to have them, just spread them out and be able to converse when they needed to interpret, and it was just a real blessing. So Miss Becky, now give testimony.
Yes, again, thank you for investing in us through prayer, because as Christian would say, I was very uneasy about the trip myself, and I prayed through it and asked people to pray me through this trip. We didn't know what to expect, yet what the media is showing, I guess, is really not the whole truth, and I shouldn't have never listened to it. I should have just stayed with the Lord and depended on Him. Couple of blessings, a lot of blessings actually, that came out, and you saw the pictures. One, we got to see Jonathan and Rebecca work faithfully.
Amen.
I mean, their faithfulness has brought not only three churches and who knows how many more, but their loving spirit, their heart for the people is just incredible. And sometimes I see it here in our church. That we just are vulnerable, and that's okay to be able to reach out to people and just be there for them. That's such a blessing that's a God-given gift. The people, they're so simple and sweet. The church is so full of love, so willing to reach out to their community. And to me, well, the community there is different in that houses are like, there's 20 in one street, and now they're building up, so more people are everywhere, and and the people are willing to go and reach out to the other people. Another blessing that was particularly meaningful to me, which is, this is my second trip on a missions trip. The very fact that we have our own devotions and the devotions that we learn from are keep us united, help us to be in the same thought as far as the Scripture is concerned. And we can see the different aspects of how the Scripture gives us. And these particular ones spoke to me in that Sarah had a delayed promise. And sometimes we just pray and we don't see results right away. But it took, I don't know how many years before she got that baby. And she got the promise answered. Another one was with Abraham when he prayed for mercy for Sodom. I mean, he was persistent. How about if I take away 20? How about if you take away, you know, he went on and prayed because he was concerned about not only his people, but the people there. And the persistence there as far as reaching out to the Lord. Are we that persistent about the people that we are helping or about the people that we are ministering to? Do we stick with it? And that's sometimes it's a little hard. And there was one more. Yeah. The one about Gideon. Yeah, the one about Gideon, that God is faithful to his promises and his word. He keeps his word. He downsides the army and really just worked through Gideon. Those were some of the studies that we got that we studied together, and that just to me was a big blessing. Okay, so the country there is different than here, and I just have to say I knew it, but a refresher course about being there just smote me in that we are blessed above and beyond. They have water, we have water. Okay? I have well water, so I can go in my tap water and drink it. They can't do that. They always have to get it purified, either through their own homes or somehow, but they cannot just open their tap water and drink it. They can't. They shouldn't. We shouldn't have even brushed our teeth with it. they have... I hate to say this, but they have a constant unpleasant odor over there, and I just take our freshness for granted. You know, I get out and I smell the roses or the fresh air here, and over there their drainage system is not—it's not even close to ours. And so there's a muck there, a bacteria that they don't even dare get near it. There's a river there that they won't even get near it. They know it's just full of stuff that it's just bad. But the people live there as though that's normal. They don't see anything wrong with it. But me being an outsider coming in, I could see, wow, these people need like a, what is that called, Christian? Something to
purification.
A purification system. And and not only do they just live there as a norm, but they're happy people. They don't even realize they're in a bad spot. They're just happy and content people. But we are so much more blessed. And I used to live in a place like that. And it didn't bother me. So this verse spoke to me as I was doing my devotions. Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And so Christ came to take away that muck. He came to take away all the bad and took it out of the way for us. And because of that, these people are working their way to heaven. They're constantly giving to churches, serving, but they're doing it their way. They don't know Christ and what Christ has done for them, which is kind of a, I mean, I was doing that. I didn't know that until somebody gave me the gospel, which cleansed me. So the people just need a cleansing. They need a cleansing because they need a new life.
Yes.
And once they get a new life, they'll be more receptive to give that new life to other people. But like Pastor said, they need laborers. So as I read on to the scripture, there's another scripture that I want to touch on. Colossians 1:28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And we have that. We tell them about Christ by faith. So my job is to pray. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for our mission field. And give the gospel by faith. I mean, just give it. And let the Lord take care of what is going to be done with that. But most of all, we are to love the unlovely. And that is kind of hard for me sometimes. To not look at what is impeding me from giving the gospel. You know, just with love, give the gospel. So, I thank God that He carried me through this trip. Because He really carried us through this. The last night, just before we came back, the last day, we went to a restaurant. And I think you saw the pictures. Even Marianne was kind of with the little camera. That place was an open market. It was just packed with people. And I was not even thinking about COVID. You know, we could get COVID here. I wasn't even thinking about that. Just the food there, to pick some food, I was like, I don't know what to pick because I don't know how the food is here. You think a restaurant is much more cleaner or has standards or whatever, but this is an open market. You're out there in the street and they're cooking it in front of you. And I'm thinking, what are they cooking? I hope they're not cooking dog, or I hope they're not cooking cat. But I said, I'm just going to go with what Jonathan picks. If Jonathan picks it, that's for me. He kept asking me, what do you want? What do you want? Because he knew I could read the menu. And he was looking toward me. And I was like, whatever you pick, it's going to be fine with me. But I did pick it. And I did eat it. And after I ate it, or as I was eating it, I was like, I don't know if I should have eaten that. And I tried not to think of it. But you know how you got that, I don't know, I don't want to say nauseousness, but that, you know, it's just not going anywhere. It's just right there. Well, anyways, we ended up at the hotel late in the evening. And my husband, poor husband, he felt so bad. He felt so bad that I felt bad for him because he's like, I don't feel good. And he just let it all out. I mean, he was in the bathroom, and he had his trash can right there, and I was thinking,
TMI.
Move on, baby. Move on.
I was like, oh, my word, what are we going to do? I kept feeling him for fever. If he has a fever, we're not going to pass that COVID test. But I asked a couple of people, please pray for us. We need to get out of here. In my mind, I was thinking, do I go with Gabby? Do I let Gabby go? Do I stay with my husband? And I mean, he was so bad, he was shivering. He was like, I don't feel good. I was like, ugh. Neither one of us was getting any rest anyway. But anyway, that was just, that was the last day before boarding. And I was thinking, if the Lord takes us through, we know it was the Lord that brought us here. He's going to carry us through. But anyways, thank God we're here. Because of this missions trip, I can serve Him more joyfully because I can continue to trust in Him. He did big miracles for us while we were there. He showed us so much. I just want to thank you all so much for your prayers because I really don't take those things lightly. Those are more precious to me than anything you guys could ever give me. If you guys go to the Lord for me, and I encourage you to pray for your missionaries. for our mission field. Because God is not only honored, but He answers. And when He gives us the answers, there's just rejoicing. I mean, things are going to line up right. Where there was chaos, it's going to get clean and neat and orderly. So, and another one, I want to encourage anybody that wants to go on any mission trip. I mean, definitely, is of the Lord. You do have to pray about it. But He can carry you through.
Yes.
And He wants to carry you through. You just have to be willing and yield. And that takes prayer.
Amen.
All right. Thank you so
Amen.
Much.
Thank you, Becky.
I will say this, that restaurant that we ate at, I thoroughly enjoyed my tacos. And I was just fine. And I think we all ate the same thing. But I will say this, if I did have COVID in that market, I want to tell you right now, whatever pepper that was that I took a bite of, I'm sure it cleared it out. All it took was one bite. I said, that's enough for me. That was a hot one. I'm telling you right. Wasn't it, Brother Jerry? It lit us up real quick. Hey, that's right. But yeah, it is. It's one of those things where you just trust the Lord all the way through. And you know, I want to say this real quick. As Brother Jerry and the girls come forward, I want Mary Ann and Gabby just to come up ready to give a testimony. Brother Jerry, you come on up too and just sit right here, ready to share a brief testimony. Just want to hear from these team members. But the Lord bless. We had a very comfortable place to stay. And about half the price of what you would pay here. Probably maybe even less. But where we stayed was extremely comfortable. One of the nicest Holiday Inn Expresses that I've ever stayed in. And it's right there in Toluca, a city of 2 million people. And this is a developed country, too, in the area. Yes, it has areas of poverty, just like we have. But they had Costco, Sam's, Walmart. They had the restaurants, Burger King, Carl's Jr. I mean, they had all those things. But there was also, like Miss Becky was talking about, there are some things that it's like, wow, things we take for granted. But nevertheless, a comfortable place we had, and the Lord blessed us like that, but went out each day and just the team gave it their best. There was sweet unity among the team all week long. I don't recall having one crossword or hearing of one crossword between anybody. We laughed at each other and laughed with each other. And we all had nicknames before the end of the trip. Every one of us. Brother Jonathan came up with that idea. And maybe we'll share them with you sometime. Maybe not. But they were nevertheless, it was just a blessed, blessed time. And Christian's right. We never felt endangered as far as crime is concerned. But I will say this. I did fear my life several times with Brother Jonathan Anderson driving that van. He was something else. But I say that, but honestly, he knew exactly what he was doing. He was a very good driver. And he drove just right with the Mexican culture. And it was fast. It was swervy. Lots of bumps. And it was pretty wild. But Mary Ann, why don't you come and share a brief testimony. Then Gabby and Brother Jerry. After that, let's see, let's get this mic right here so I can get you a little better. Okay. Got this one. Why don't you step out to the side, honey? They can't see you behind that pulpit. There you go. Can you hold it? Can you hold the mic up to you? There you go.
I am really thankful that I got to go to Mexico. I really like meeting the people and eating the food. God gave me courage to give my testimony in one of the churches. I am thankful for the trip.
Amen. Good job, sweetie. Amen. Amen.
Hi, my name is Gabby Heiss. I am one of the 7 who got to go to the Mexico missions trip. I am so grateful I got to go. It was a blessing to me in my spiritual walk with God. One of my favorite nights was when I got to go to Vision Baptist Church, which is one of their church plants. Seeing all of the people there was amazing. It was also amazing that they were all engaged in the message. I am thankful the church allowed this to happen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gabby. Please come on up to the pulpit, Jerry. Just be brief, okay?
Well, they asked me to give my testimony when I was there, and I did, and it was, I was looking at all these people out there, and this is the second night we was there. And when we first come to that little church, there was just a handful of people there. But that night, when I gave my testimony, it was just packed full. It was 40, more than 40 people that was there, and they were just packed full. All I did was give my testimony. I said, the Lord saved me, and He had definitely saved you too.
Amen.
And we all left there, and I know everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit during that night.
Yes, it was.
And all those three churches they were all packed after. They wanted to hear from us. They were open-minded, and they took those tracts, just like Christian was saying. In 15 minutes, we handed out a big old bunch of tracts that we handed out. And it was a glorious time. I thank y'all. I thank you for your prayer.
Amen.
And God bless you. And Lord, God bless those people there. They love. There'd be a lot of them that would get saved if we'll serve the Lord.
Amen.
Thank y'all so much.
That's right.
Thank you.
I was so thankful Brother Jerry got to go. Brother Jerry's 70 years old and just had a desire to go to Mexico and give his life for that week. And Jerry did awesome. He was with us. He encouraged us. It was just a blessing to have him there. And late nights, I'm not sure when you normally go to bed, Brother Jerry, but we were usually getting to bed by 1 a.m. It was late nights. It was not uncommon for us to be eating tacos at 11 p.m. That was strange to me, but I kind of liked it at the same time. So it was just a lot of fun. Excellent food. It was incredibly good. And all the things, I can't give you all the names, Brother Arthur probably could, but we tried all the different kinds that they have, and it was so, so good. Well, it was great to have Brother Arthur there, again, just having him there even from a youth pastor's perspective, but I'm looking forward to, and Arthur and I are already talking about maybe taking a group down in the next couple of years, a youth group, to work there with the Anderson family. Brother Arthur, you come and share testimony.
Well, we had an absolute blast. Let me tell you, there are too many stories that I could tell, and there's too many stories that I probably shouldn't tell because I probably would get in trouble. But if you want to know Brother Jerry's nickname, just ask him the story, and he'll be glad to tell you. Let me tell you, we made so many memories that week, and part of the blessing of just that missions trip was, you know, eating tacos at 11 o'clock at night and seeing Pastor laugh until he cried and things like that. It was just a blast. Just getting to spend time together. It really was encouragement. It was a team of seven that went and just seeing different of them just love on people. Just seeing them serve and just whether it was putting out chairs before the service or putting their arm around some of the people in the church and just talking to them, showing them that they cared about them, that they loved them. Seeing Brother Jerry just love on some of the young preachers that were there and hearing Pastor preach, it was a blessing. They were an encouragement to me, and I know that they were an encouragement to the Andersons as well as the people in different churches. And it was just such a wonderful blessing. We definitely grew closer together, and we saw God do really some amazing things. As we heard just different testimonies, I kind of went to Mexico not really thinking or worrying a whole lot about whether there would be danger or COVID or if I was going to get sick. I was kind of like, all right, we're going. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time. And really, that's how I felt. I don't know what they're talking about, the crazy drive-in. I was just putting my hands up and waving them and going this way. And no, I'm just kidding. But we had a lot of fun. You know, there were some crazy moments, some different moments but it was really just a blast to see God work and God bless and God yes. Take care of us and really if we just cast our mind on Him, there's no reason to fear, there's no reason to worry, there's no reason to be stressed or scared because God had every single part of the trip under control. And like has been said before, if you didn't really look at the news or think about it a whole lot, you never felt in danger of, you know, crime or felt in danger of COVID or anything like that. We stayed at a nice hotel. You know, it was a blessing to be there, and just as well, it was a whole lot of fun. And I said I was encouraged by the team and just their ministry that week to the different churches, as well as I was just really ministered to and encouraged by the churches, and just seeing some of these people here in another country singing out to the Lord, seeing just their hunger and their desire for the Word of God. I know one of the services that we showed that was just packed out, they were told, I believe it was either that Monday, that Sunday night, or that Monday, that they were going to move their services to Tuesday night. And they were completely packed out. People were there to hear the Word of God and to grow closer to God. And that was an encouragement, as well as just, you saw a picture of me with two of the young preachers that were there, just seeing some young men. One of them hadn't really been saved a whole long time, but just seeing them busy about what God had put on their heart. Yes. Seeing the burden that they had for their city. And just thinking, you know, you heard of Brandon a little bit, and he was in Okoyokak, which was about 100,000 people or so, maybe probably more than that, and just seeing him with a burden to get to meet everybody and to share the gospel with everybody that he saw. That was an encouragement to me, and it really stirred my heart. And as well as Brother Anderson was a huge blessing to us.
Yes.
Like has been said, he spent that whole week pouring into us, whether it was at times opening up the Bible and just sharing a devotion with us. There are times in the car where he encouraged us, and really it felt like I was just being discipled. I was being helped and grown in my ministry, in my own walk with the Lord. I think he made a joke a couple of times. This is like a marriage seminar, so I was helped just with my marriage. Just different ways that Brother Jonathan sought to invest and minister and be a blessing to us. And really the whole Anderson family did that, and it was a huge encouragement and help to me and a blessing to me. And then the last thing I was really encouraged by was just the need. The need, as we stood on top of a tower in Mexico City, and you could just see lights, houses, and people in every direction as far as you could see. We went on top of the top of the hills of those cities, and we just looked out at people, just tons of people who don't hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We went to other towns, and Brother Jonathan would say, you know, maybe there's one or two churches here that preach the Bible, but they're not really necessarily doing a whole lot. Or some that they say, you know, there's nobody here preaching the gospel. We went to that cemetery, and we walked around, and we looked at the different grave markers of people who had passed away, even in this past year. And so there's nobody here preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people. It encourages our heart that there's a need. There's a great need for somebody to rise up and preach the gospel to these people, for someone to go. And it reminded me, as we sat there and we talked, Brother Anderson mentioned, I think Pastor and Brother Christian mentioned, is just for us to find our place in what God would have for us to do. We were sitting there thinking, just, you know, Lord, here am I, send me. Where is my place? Whether it would be Mexico, whether it's, you know, somewhere here in the United States. I know right now my place is here in this church. I mean, you know, well, God, where do you want me to preach the gospel? Whether on a missions trip, whether later in my life, God, where would you have me go? And Brother Anderson just really encouraged all of us with that last day. Is, hey, you know, you don't have to come here to Mexico. You don't have to come here to be with me. You don't have to go to another country. You could stay right there in Athens, Georgia. But what are you doing about sharing the gospel? And that was an encouragement and a challenge and a real help to me. So before I'm done here, I just want to say, if you didn't get an opportunity to go, you missed out. I say that as nice as I can, because it was just an absolute blast. We were there. We had fun with one another. We heard the Word of God preached. We were poured into as we did our best, you know, pass out tracts and serve. God just spoke to us and worked in our hearts. And we had a blast just going around Mexico, these different cities, seeing the need. Our hearts were touched with the need, with the gospel, as well as just seeing what God is doing in our missionaries. You know, just seeing some of the things Brother Anderson said was that our church has just had probably one of the biggest impacts in his ministry. And just getting there to see these different churches and to see these different people whose lives have been touched by the gospel because of the Andersons. And that it's not just because of the Andersons, but because it's all of you that pray for them. It's because of all of you who support them. It's because of all of you who lift them up in prayer and have their prayer card. And just to see, you know, that God is doing a great work there in Toluca, Mexico, because of what our church here is doing in holding the ropes for them. That was a blessing and encouragement. I want to encourage you, if you get an opportunity to go on a missions trip, whether it's next year or in the future years, you know, take every opportunity that you get. because one is a blessing and encouragement. Number two, it's a lot of fun. But number three, you never know what God is going to do in your heart during a missions trip.
Amen. Well, I'm just going to share a brief testimony here because I can just echo what a lot has already been said about the impact that it's made. One of the highlights of the trip spiritually for me was the cemetery that he took us to, the village that he took us in. You saw the picture, and what stood out to me immediately were all the crosses. Hundreds. And that can be very deceiving. Because most of those people, Brother Jonathan expressed, did not have a chance to hear the gospel. They believed that their salvation was in their good works and what Mary did for them or could do for them. And Jonathan just, it was a very sobering moment, and he took us there and he said, who's going to come? Who are the laborers that will come? What is our place? And then another one was when we went to Mexico City, they took us to the highest building in the city. And you go out on top and you're able to walk around outside. And you saw a couple of the pictures with all the lights and the cars moving. Just as far as you could see to the horizon, just a sea of lights. 20 million plus. Brother Jonathan thinks that it's estimated by others that it could be up to 30 million in that city. And that's about the size of you. He said several states, Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina. You put all those states together, and that's how many are in this one city. And the laborers are few there. He said there are very few church planters. He said there are works being done, thank God. But he said they're few, and so I was challenged. Lord, what can I do? What part can I play? Fulfilling the Great Commission in this city, Mexico City, and I'm thankful for how much Brother Jonathan poured into me as a pastor, as a brother in Christ. It just every time we were turning around, Brother Jonathan was exhorting us. He was encouraging us. Thinking about ways to pray, but not only pray, but how are we being effective here in Athens? He brought that up a couple times. He said, you have a mission field too, right there in Jackson County, right there in Athens, Clark. And these people are fervent and zealous about reaching their community. And then we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing to be zealous, to be fervent, to be compassionate, and to go out there and let them know? But I just want to share one verse with you tonight. In fact, just think with me just for a moment. It's in Judges where we were this morning, and it's in chapter 6, and it's in verse 21 is what I would like to bring attention to. Chapter 7, and verse 21. You know the story. You may be familiar with it, but Gideon, after he was called and after the Lord had given them instruction to go and to take out the Midianites, he says, your army is too big. So it started off as 32,000 Israelite men, soldiers, and God says, you're too big. I heard this quote recently. You can be too big for God to use, but you can never be too small. God wants to use us because we are small. We are weak. But God has chosen to use us. So it went from 32,000 men against 135,000 Midianites. And then God says, you're still too big. He says, you're still too big. So what you're going to do now is I'm going to tell you right now, here's a volunteer thing. All you that are afraid and fearful, he says, just allow them to go home. And do you know, upon that, out of those 32,000 men, 22,000 of them went home. They were afraid. And that's what happened. But then, believe it or not, God tells Gideon again, Gideon, you're still too big. The 10,000 that are remaining right now, he said, you're too big. He said, I will tell you what, we got another test. Bring them down to the river.
and we're going to have a test. And he says, as you come down to the river, I want you to observe them. And he said, the ones that go down to the river and drink directly out of the river with their mouth, just basically plant their face in the river, the ones that plant their face in the river, observe them. But he said, watch those that just simply kneel down and take their hands and lap the water like a dog would lap the water with his tongue. He said, those that lap the water with their hand and bring it to their mouth, those I want you to set aside. And basically, there's different ideas of what the significance of that is. But one of the things that's obvious is those 300 that ended up just taking their hand and bringing it to their mouth instead of planting their face in the water would symbolize these were men who were still being vigilant, who were still being watchful, who were self-disciplined, and they were concerned about what was going on, and they put their hand in the water and brought it to it, and so it ended up being 300. So I'm going to make a long story short here. What happened? God says, you take those 300, you surround the city, and it wasn't without Gideon having some fear. And please, let me just say this right now. God spoke to me through this. Do you know, even after we preached this morning, Gideon had peace? Do you know that Gideon still had moments of fear? You think about that account. Because Gideon was ready to go, and God says, now Gideon, if you're afraid, if you have some fear on you, I'll let you go down with your servant, which was most likely his armor bearer. He says, you go down with him, and I got something for you. And Gideon said, basically, I'm reading between the lines here. He's like, thank you, Lord, I'll go with him. But you know what the difference was? And I think I told the team this. Here's the difference. Gideon was willing to be afraid. He was willing to take that step and to be afraid. He had fear. He's human. And God used that, and they went down, and they heard the news that they had gotten news. There was a man that had a dream, and God brought him right where he could hear the guy interpreting this dream. God worked all that out, that the Midianites were going to be destroyed, and they had the picture of the barley bread rolling down in the city, knocking down the tents. And so Gideon was encouraged. He's like, praise God. He was happy about that. And then so what they did, Gideon said, all right, y'all follow me as I follow the Lord. We got 300 of us, 100 over there, 100 over here, and I'll be with the other 100 right here. He said, we're going to go and we're going to surround the camp. And guess what God used Gideon to do there? He said, these were the weapons. Now, tell me if you would be encouraged. The weapons are going to be, number one, you were going to see here in the scriptures that there was going to be what I would consider a bucket. We see that it'd be called a pitcher here. There was a torch, and then there was a trumpet. And so those three instruments that each of them had surrounding the city were going to be for a significant use. And basically, this is what they were going to do at Gideon's command. They were going to sound out. And they were going to praise the Lord and cry out with their voice to the Lord Jehovah, to the Lord Jehovah. And what ended up happening is all these Midianites, 152,000 of them, and they were the Amalekites as well. There were others all mixed up. They got so scared when these 300 sounded off. They took the pitchers off their torches. You could see the torches, the trumpets, the loud, the yelling. Those guys panicked so quickly, they started killing each other. And then they fled. God brought victory to them. And the Lord used them. But there's one verse that stood out to me in all of this, even on the trip, was found in verse 21 of chapter 7. And it was this. And you've heard it even spoken of in the testimonies. It says, after they had cried the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, it says, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp. That phrase there, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp. Can I be honest with you, Brother Jason? Brother Dan? Brother Christian? Brother Daniel? Listen, you know what stands out to me about this? When I was in that city, other times I was overwhelmed. I'm like, Lord, who am I among all these people? What kind of difference can I make? Lord, this is not really clicking with me. 20 million people
You think about, you even come back to the States, and you think about the world, you think about the over billion people in China. God, what can we do? Do you know what the Lord just, with a still small voice, used this text? He said, Brinson, just make sure you are standing in your place. Your place. Of those 300, each of them had their place, had their trumpet, had their pitcher or their bucket, and their torch. And they did what God commanded them to do. And look what God did. The odds were against them. It was 400 Midianites to one Israelite. But look what God did. And what the Lord shared with me, friends, is we don't need to get overwhelmed by the fact that we can't do it. But we need to get overwhelmed with the fact we can do it with God's help, with God's power. We need to get overjoyed with that and go forth in faith. I'm praying tonight as we close our service of presenting Mexico. I want to ask this question to everyone here. Are you listening? Please, are you listening? I'm asking tonight, would you ask this question, Lord, what is my place in reaching Mexico? Lord, what place do you have me to stand in the gap in reaching the 20 million in Mexico City? And if you'll ask that question tonight honestly, and all the other towns, Metepec, 280,000, Acoyacac, 80,000. If you'll ask your question, and there are hundreds and hundreds of other cities in Mexico, Lord, what would you do for me to stand in the gap? The Lord is going to answer that question. He is. And we all need to be willing to hear this. Go. We all need to be willing to hear this. Pray. We all need to be willing to hear this. Give. Whatever it is, be willing to hear it with an open heart and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Let's do it right now. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you ask that question right now? Would you ask that question, please, church? Let's do this together. You say it quietly. I'll pray it out loud. Lord, where is my place in reaching Mexico? What would you have me to do in reaching the 20 million plus souls in Mexico City? Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, if you would want me to go, I'm willing to go. But God, if you are calling me to stay, Lord, I want to pray for Mexico. I want to be renewed in my heart and compassion for this neighboring country. And I wonder tonight, perhaps, even if God Almighty is calling some laborers to go to this country. As we're all praying, Christians praying for the Holy Spirit just to have His way. Would someone say tonight, Pastor, God has spoken in my heart specifically about going to Mexico. And tonight, I am surrendering. And that word is surrendering. You're not saying you know all the details, but tonight I am surrendering and taking the next step to go to Mexico as a missionary. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to me personally about being a missionary in Mexico. If anybody is here like that, would you raise your hand and that I can pray for you? I won't call you out. I promise you. Thank you. Lord bless you, sister. Thank you. Anybody else? I've seen two raise their hand. Anybody else? And tonight, I sense the Lord calling. Raise it up high so I can see it. Anybody else like that? Okay, the next question is this. How many believers here tonight would say, the Lord has truly spoken to my heart about the need to pray more for Mexico. To pray more for these cities without the gospel. To stand in the gap to pray for laborers. And tonight, I'm renewing my commitment to pray for this need that is being presented before me tonight. And by the grace of God, I'm going to be more committed to praying for the country of Mexico and even the Anderson family and these dear brethren that we saw on the screen. Would you say, Pastor, I am going to do that? Would you lift up your hand tonight? God is hands all over. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Lord God Almighty, I thank You and praise You for how You have worked tonight, how You have spoke to our hearts. I thank You for these two, Lord, that raised their hand indicating, Lord, that they believe that You are speaking to them about being a missionary in the country of Mexico. Help them, Lord, to share this call that You are putting upon their heart. Help them to pray over it. Help them to sense Your continual calling and leading, and give them the courage, Lord, and the help they need to pursue Your precious will. And we'll thank You and give You the glory for what You do. Thank You for these prayer warriors that have asked, Lord, and have asked You to help them and to increase their faith as they pray more for Mexico. God, there's no accident that You had ordained for us to go on this trip. It's no accident. You want us to be responsible for doing our part. So, Lord Jesus, we thank You for presenting this need to us. Thank You for letting our team go. Thank You for letting us build those relationships with each other as a church. And thank You for the liberty You gave tonight. Lord, I pray You'd bless now in the invitation time as the instruments begin to play. Would You stand with me, church?